Welcome to Abiding Life Studios podcast, where we tell relatable stories and lessons about how God moves in the natural of life. You'll hear real life stories with applicable lessons. When you're finished with the podcast, head on over to abidinglife.com where you can access the unique self-test, books, merch, free teachings, and more. Now for today's podcast.
Hello, welcome to Abiding Life Studios. I'm Noah Wells. Today I have with me Shay Wells.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Reinhardt.
Hi, Noah. Hi, Shay. Hi, Steve. Everybody.
Hello, hello.
How you been, Steve?
Good. Good to be with you guys.
Good Wonderful. You too.
Hang out and see your smiling faces.
Yes, it's very good to see you. Well, today, we're going to go over the new booklet we just came out with, and it is called Responding Versus Reacting, Why We Do What We Do.
This has been a really fun booklet to create, and I think, you know, God has really placed it on your heart specifically to make these booklets, because Mike made the most incredible diagrams, and they have helped so many people for so many years, but a lot of people haven't had the confidence to like go share the diagrams, or they're not sure
what to say
yeah. when they get them, but they also know like, oh my gosh, this four circles concept, which Mike, I mean, created this 30 plus years ago, probably.
It's been
a long time. Yeah. But a lot of people have memories of, man, that changed my life. But I wouldn't know how to talk to someone about that.
Yeah.
So it's really cool how God has given you the desire to really simplify, which is what this booklet has done, is broken down the four circles diagram that Mike had created, but then gives people those step-by-step prompts of how to walk through it with people. So this booklet for me has changed a lot, for sure.
Yeah, and for me, the booklet, you know, we put in what you can say, like you can follow it word for word if you want, but
yeah,
to me, this is just giving a person the confidence to go and share this with another person.
Yeah.
And we all know that God will show up and teach you both something in it. You know, and you don't have to go word for word with it, but you can if that's what you want to.
Yeah. So if you have not looked at a booklet yet, if you do not have one of these four circles booklets, we call it the four circles booklet just as a quick,
as a quick
it has four circles on it, but the responding versus reacting booklet, it is set up to where you, as the presenter, as the person helping a friend or a family member or a coworker, whoever it is, a spouse, you can sit on one side of a table and you have questions to ask that person. You have prompts to walk through. You have examples while the person you're talking to that may be stuck in a reacting mode, they have circles to fill in. They have diagrams to look at too. So it really breaks down how to talk to someone. And we've really put a lot of thought into questions that are helpful to keep the conversation going, so that if you're new to coming alongside and helping someone, we've given you examples and things to kind of keep the ball rolling. So it's a really cool resource to have.
I agree.
Also, one of the interesting things about these booklets is God seems to have Noah and I walk through each booklet that we're in the middle of creating. And so this one, you know, we had this scenario come up. Do you want to tell?
No, you can tell the story.
Kind of the story of how we.
I can tell it if you want.
We started walking through this. You can go ahead. You can tell your side.
Yeah, because everyone has their own side, right? Yeah. And like Shay was saying, you know, whenever we're doing one of these booklets, I think God really likes to show us the whole part of the booklet and make it really stick in with us. So like right now we're started Time and Eternity, where God is in everything. And it's that one right now is a hard one to learn for both of us right now. Yes. Yeah, so we are still right in the beginning of that booklet. Yeah. So we'll see how that one goes. So we just put a story at the beginning. And I think for me, this just kind of helps the person if you're going to do it or if you're just going to do it by yourself. Because mm-hmm. This booklet, I think, is good for other people and just yourself.
Yeah.
You can just sit here and just do the booklet of yourself and understand yourself more mm-hmm. and how you react and respond towards different things. So sorry, Steve, to bore you, but we're going to do this story real quick and then we'll get
into it.
Yeah, because I'm really looking forward to going over the booklet with Steve and seeing what his answers are in it. So the story, I'm not going to read this word for word. I'll just kind of go into what we were just going through. So one night we were going to go take Shay's car in for the night drop at the mechanic. So we're in the garage, you know, talking about it and got the kids in the car. And so I'm going to follow over there in my car. And so I'm telling her exactly how to get to the mechanic. I'm dyslexic, you know, everyone knows that by now. And I see everything with landmarks, you know, so it's like, you know, when you see the big oak tree, turn right, you know, when you see this, you know, this gas station, the Circle K, then you'll know you're on the right road. And, you know, I'm just going on and on about this, about how to find it. And Shay, you know, she just kind of looks at me and is like, I'm just going to Google Maps it.
Yeah, I'm going to use my GPS.
Yeah, I'm going to use my GPS.
Not a landmarks kind of girl. I am a street sign reader.
So that being said, you know, it went through my filter, my baggage filter that we'll talk about in this, of she thinks you're stupid. And so that's what I heard instantly. Like she said that and I said, oh, she thinks you're an idiot. She doesn't want anything to do with you. So what I did was I jumped in my car as quick as I could and peeled out because I didn't want to tell her the name of the place. I don't want to tell her any other information because I just thought, well, good luck finding it.
Which is what he said.
Yeah. And I got out of there as quick as I could, peeled out, raced around. So there's no way she could have caught me. And
he was gone. I was like, okay, I'll catch up to him. Nope, he was gone. And me having abandonment baggage and feeling like no one loves me, I'm hard to love, and everyone's always going to leave me, I instantly felt, we're done. This is it. We're getting a divorce. Like, who's going to get the kids? How are we going to start splitting up assets? Like, I start going, where am I going to find an apartment? I just start going through all the things because, like, we are over. And the whole drive there, I'm crying and I've got the kids in the car. So I'm trying not to like
show emotion,
lose it. But we get there and we're pretty silent in the car on the way home. I did find it.
I was really bummed at that moment.
When you saw me pull up.
Yeah.
I found it. I then have to get in the car with him and I'm just like, oh, and we're silent on the drive home. And it was really interesting because while we were sitting there, you know, he's sitting there in the car, he's sitting there thinking, see, she thinks you're stupid. She, you know, doesn't even think you can give her directions. And I'm sitting there going, he hates me. This is over. And we're both sitting there in our own heads, allowing the separation to come in and just separate us more and more in that silence, because he's sitting there in his baggage. I'm sitting there in mine. And we both were just feeling so broken. And we got home and the kids went inside and we kind of sat in the garage and we were like, okay.
What just happened?
What just happened? Like, this is so silly that it was just about directions. And we really came to that conclusion of, man, when I looked at him that way and used that tone of, I'm just going to use the GPS, he had felt so stupid. And then when he left, I had felt so abandoned. And it was just having that conversation of recognizing how he felt and how I felt, what that brought out in us. Then we were able to have a conversation of like, I did not think you were stupid at all. I just had no idea. I was the one who was being dumb because I could not follow your landmarks. I didn't know what you were talking about, but we were just stuck in this. I'm going to react because you made me feel this way. Well, I'm going to react because you made me feel this way. When really we were just kind of sitting in that old baggage and those old messages. And then we were able to really communicate that and work through it in such a calm fashion after we reacted, because that's kind of what we do a lot of times, is we hit that reaction button first and then we go, wait a minute, what's the real problem here? Because just like Mike talked for years, the problem really isn't the problem. The directions were not the problem. The mechanic was not the problem. The problem was our old baggage that this scenario had brought up in us. And so
and protection.
So it was really interesting to be able to kind of stop that cycle and move through it, which is what this booklet has really helped us do. So we're going to go ahead and go through, we're going to show you the booklet, but we took out all of the presenter notes so that we can just kind of walk through how you would walk someone through this, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just show you the parts that the disciplee, the hurting person, the reactor, that they would see. And then we're going to kind of give our answers as well to show that.
Yeah. And I just want to say this, you can honestly go through this as fast as you want to go through it or as slow as you want to go through it. I can honestly go through it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, get the point across, get them to understand what's going on. But I think it's more fun to go a little bit slower, of course, to really get to know what's going on in them. And I think it's a lot more fun to talk about things. So,
well, and just like you had said before we got started, when God shows up, you have other things to say. Sometimes you don't have a lot to say. Sometimes you have a ton to say. And either way, like, this is just a template to start walking through something, walking through the scenario with someone. It's just a template for you to use and see how God shows up and what he gives you to say to. Because sometimes this can take weeks to go through with someone. I mean, I have someone I'm kind of starting to go through it with now, but she's just not ready for it. And so we're just taking it step by step, and other people, you can go through it in minutes. So
yeah, exactly.
Just see what God does with it.
All right, Steve, you ready?
I'm ready.
Steve, you ready to stop listening to us yap away and start getting into this? All right, so cover the booklet. And then we do have the story we just told written in it. And so this is actually a few pages into the booklet. But this would be the first question that you ask your disciplee is, what do you want people to say about you when you leave a gathering? I always find this so interesting to ask people because it's not something that I think we think of very often.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you want people
to see you? Yeah, to see you.
And we do give examples of like smart, kind, funny, good husband, charming, spiritual. We give you examples if someone's feeling stuck. So. Yeah.
So Steve, what would yours be? Or at least one.
So when I leave a gathering, I think I'd like people to think of me as loving and funny and fun.
Those are good ones.
Maybe spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. Spiritual.
If I'm not limited to three, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't think you are.
We put three. We started with five at one point, but we felt, sometimes like the high thinkers, it's hard for them to think
come up with
you.
That many.
So if you're going through this booklet with someone and they can honestly only come up with one, maybe two, that is okay.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Babe, what are yours?
I put good husband, caring, and a good listener.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, what about you?
Mine would be funny, caring, and genuine.
Okay, that's good. All right, well, that's better.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do, and then you move on to the next thing, right? Yeah.
Next.
Why are we asking those questions?
Oh, it'll all come together. No, it really does all come together, but what we've noticed is we all have these identities that we hold on to, which is really why we move into like this reacting protection mode. And who we want people to see or what we want them to think about us or say about us when we leave a gathering, that really is that success suit that Mike talked about for so many years. It's how we want people to perceive us. We want to be seen as these strong, amazing.
Got it all together.
Mm-hmm. Good looking, all of these things. That's one of our identities that we really hold on to. And I think it's one of the strongest identities that we hold on to, because that's the good parts of us. That's how we want to put like that best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
So these first two questions are kind of two different identities that we tend to hold on to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so what you're saying, Shay, is this is what people would see if they just recently meet me, or maybe at church. Mm-hmm. That's what they get.
Yeah, when you're putting that best, the foot, best forward,
Okay.
Or, you know, when you're first meeting someone, you show up kind of your best, you know, you're nice and kind, and hey, I'm so-and-so, and this is how I
very
want
lovable.
You. I want you to see me as this person.
Yeah.
This is how we always kind of strive to be. But then we also have this other piece of us, which is the next question is, how do you feel, or what do you do at your worst?
Steve, you want to go first?
Sure. So those are kind of like two different questions. How do I feel at my worst? Frustrated or angry. Discouraged, I think, would be ways I would feel at my worst. And what would I do at my worst? I would probably criticize someone, judge them, put them down, go out and clean my garage. You know, and take a walk by myself and get away from that person.
Withdraw a little bit.
No, those are good.
Those would be some things I would think of right off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I think those are great.
Barb would be a better person to ask that question too.
We all have pieces of us.
Yes, mine would be angry. I would definitely withdraw, and then I feel like I'm unlovable.
Yeah. I definitely shut down. I withdraw. I feel unlovable almost all the time. And I definitely can say mean things for sure when I'm feeling at that worst moment.
Yeah.
Which is kind of that, this is the identity that we like to keep hidden. These are pieces of us that
we think no one will like us if they find us out.
The unacceptable pieces of us. These are the pieces that we like to stay hidden. And so when something comes up and we act this way, that's when we can start feeling all of this shame and guilt and all of the things that come up, when really it's just another
part of you.
Just another part of us.
Yeah.
So we have that success suit identity, and then we have kind of who we are in our worst moments. And it's this battle of, I have to stay in my success suit. I can't let people see me at my worst.
Yeah, because then they might not like me.
Yep.
I might not even like myself.
Next question to fill out is, what was the last problem you had that brought out who you are at your worst?
What was the last problem that I had? I think an argument with Bart, probably.
Yeah.
I think that's
that would be the moment in time I'd think of.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of times these events are like, they always bring out this feeling of, if my spouse wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have reacted that way. Or if my mom...
That was one of my questions for you after the end of your story about going to the oil change place, was who was to blame?
Both.
I would say both of us.
But in that moment, he would have blamed me and I would have blamed him. And,
And when we get to the end of this, remind me, because I want to ask that question again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when we get to this problem circle, like I was saying before, is that always becomes our focus of the problem.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if I had a different job, everything would be better and I would never react.
Yeah.
Or if I had more money, I would never stress. Like, there would be no problems, or if my spouse just wouldn't push my buttons. Or if the kids would just do what they needed to do.
Do what they need to do.
And I wouldn't have
do what I say to do, then we're good. Yeah.
Do you have a last problem?
I mean, if it's not an argument we've had with each other, it'd be somebody at like a store that I thought their tone and their voice made it sound like I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like at the DMV, I had that recently where I was like, oh no.
Or 20 minutes ago when our teenager gave you attitude before we started this podcast.
Yes, exactly. And you go, okay. I guess I'll just deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got one, or you just want to move?
I mean, I've been in full reaction mode all week.
That's true.
This being a sports parent just really brings it out in you. being a sports parent.
If those people in the sports world were just different, you know.
Exactly, and acting more like me.
If those girls on the team were not mean and little bitches,
exactly,
feel better, right?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
If they were all more like my kid, it would all just be fine.
Yeah, everyone would get along then.
Which is not true, but you know, all the things that go through your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well then here's the spicy question. How do you cope when a problem occurs? What do you go to other than God? Because we all know that if we were all perfect, we could just go, oh, I'm reacting, and go straight to God and all of our problems would be gone. But we all run.
Yeah.
We all run.
Yes, we do.
To everything else to try to make us feel better before we really sit and.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I'm very open and honest on these podcasts. I'll just say it. I was telling Shay, you know, we were kind of going through this the other day. I don't know why we were going through it, but I was like, you know, I don't think I run to porn for like a cope. You know, I just run to porn because I like it. You know, and Shay just looked at me like, what? That's a cope. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. That
you're like, because it just makes me feel better in the moment.
Yeah, in the moment. Better. Yes, exactly.
I don't think it's a cope. I just go to it because it makes me feel better in the moment. And I was like, you just explained what a cope is.
I know. And I was like, as soon as it came out of my mouth, too, I was just like, oh, my goodness. It is a cope. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that might be a better question, actually. Then how do you cope with it? What do you do to go feel better?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Because like when you ask it that way, it makes it a broader.
Yeah, it does.
Broader for me to be able to say, oh, like I like to eat, you know, like chips. Yeah. Chips are, I like to feel better.
Yeah.
Like a bag of chips would be awesome. Or even.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
A Coke or a beer.
Yeah.
I don't have to go get drunk, but.
No, but just a sip of something would be nice.
KFC with their bowl, their super bowl with the chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. I always feel better after eating that.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is on the presenter's page.
Yeah.
That is what we have is what do you go to make you feel better, basically. And then we have on the side food, porn, drinking. All of those are in the presenter's page, which I think is very helpful. Mine is definitely food and spending.
Yeah, mine is impulse spending, and we're trying to get better at that. That's so bad to do.
As two feelers, when we don't feel good, things aren't going well.
Shiny things make us feel better.
Shiny things just feel so good. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days later, you're like, why did we do that?
And yet again, it only excites, it never satisfies.
No, it's just exciting for a little bit.
Exciting for a little bit. And yeah, it's just. Steve, what about you? Do you have one or two? Or?
Well, I've already mentioned a few of them.
Yep.
But like, You know, so I've got some nice looking ones, like work, like work.
Yeah.
I like to work. I feel better when I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, that's one of the things I do feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read. You know, I can put myself in a novel or a book, or I'm reading about people that are up in the Arctic now. And so I kind of transport it. I go to a whole different world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or watch TV or movies.
Yeah, I like movies.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so there's all sorts of different things. I like to hang out with people. So I can go meet new people or go have lunch with somebody and kill two birds with one stone. I get to have, you know, breakfast with you. And so I'm getting to hang out with somebody I like and have good food.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, it's
so kind those of are all kind of, you know, things we might not think of as idols, but they probably are for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely using them to feel better. And I actually don't feel guilty about it either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is true.
So,
and that's the thing that I like about, because most of the ones that you had just said are in our examples for the presenter page. And that's one of the things that when we were writing this booklet, we found so interesting, because the words coping mechanism or going to a cope have such a negative, you know, well, I'm not doing drugs and I'm not, you know,
yeah,
whatever. I'm not getting drunk every night. And so it's not that bad. But there's still things that take our focus, and there are still things that we dive into to make us feel good. They're just more socially acceptable. And, you know, it was kind of a gut punch a little bit when we were writing this, because some of the things was like, well, I go into full mom mode. If I am like angry and things aren't going well, I am going to just pour into my kids and I'm going to show up to everything. I'm going to avoid everything else to just be the best mom ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I doing that because I want acceptance? Because I want to feel good about what's going on over here in this corner? Or am I just being a good mom to be a good mom? But it looks acceptable. I'm showing up as, you know, as people look at you and they go, wow,
what a good mom.
You're such a good mom. You're showing up at all these things. And it's like, yeah, well, really, I'm just avoiding all of this pile of crap behind me that I really should be dealing with, but I'm going to show up and it looks acceptable to society. So it was kind of a gut punch of going, oh, it's still not necessarily a good thing that I'm doing that. It's just
acceptable. Yeah, but it's not a bad thing. So
yeah, it's not a bad thing.
It's like, this is just what I do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I do.
You can say it's not actually about being a good mom or being a bad mom. It's like, this is what I do. This is how I'm feeling better. I'm gonna do this, take this action, and I do that too. One of the things that I do that's not usually is too acceptable is I blame other people, but that might also be acceptable too.
I think so too. I think it is acceptable.
Blaming other people and looking down on other people, I feel better when I do that, actually.
Yeah.
So
that's one of the things I like about this, is this booklet is really just to be aware. This whole booklet is to bring awareness to the patterns we have and why we do the things that we do, so that if you're stuck in, you can see why you're reacting and maybe try to respond a little bit easier, which we'll go through in the next few pages. But some of your coping mechanisms are also your survival modes. It's how you get through life. It is how you survive things. And so this booklet isn't to like be aware to get rid of. Sometimes it's just being aware to go, oh, that's why I'm doing this. Okay. All right. And it's not always bad, but to just be aware, am I pouring into my kids because I'm trying to make myself feel better? Or am I pouring into my kids because I love my kids? Doesn't mean I have to stop doing it, but to just kind of be aware.
Just
of
be
that.
Aware. Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
all right, we're good to move on.
Okay.
Oof. Okay, so this one, the disciplee just gets kind of a notes page, because we really wanted to give space to talk about the baggage that we bring in to every problem. And so this one is just kind of for people to take notes on, but we all bring baggage into every part of our lives, and it can come from past hurts or relationships or people's words or just people in general or failures, experiences. And we all use pieces of this evidence to make us believe that the baggage is really just a big part of us. And a lot of times, you know, a problem occurs, and that baggage is just whipped right open, and all of those messages come pouring out. And just like you were saying in that beginning story, mm-hmm. is the mechanic was what it was, but really your old baggage was just ripped open.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those same messages come flooding.
Yeah,
back.
Flooding in, yeah.
So do you have examples of your baggage?
Yeah, I definitely have examples of my baggage. Mine's dyslexia, failures I've had in my life. God made a mistake, or God messed up making me. I always have that pop into my head for sure, because I have so many faults. So I always think that he did something wrong. Mm-hmm. Like maybe he only had one eye closed or something when he made me. I don't know what happened. Like I'll never be anything or never be enough. And then of course, you know, I do have a failed marriage under my belt. So, mm-hmm. you know, that can pop into, like, you know, like during that mechanic thing too, you know, that pops in, like, you know, there's something wrong with you, Noah. That's why, mm-hmm. you know, all these people get pushed away. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think, and just like stuff that just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can you talk about mine too?
Yeah, I can talk about yours. So for Shay's, hers is not enough. She feels unworthy. She, like, just being married to her, we've been married almost, what are we about to celebrate, 13?
14.
14?
Mm-hmm.
14 years, June 19th. So, you know, it's one of those, just being married to you, she really feels like she is unworthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
And she has mentioned it to me many times. Am I really that hard to love?
Mm-hmm.
And she's not saying that to me. She said that to other people in her life that have maybe have mentioned that to you, mm-hmm. or, you know, said you what? I can't even remember some of the things they've said about you. We don't have to go into that list. But, you know, or, you know, that you, I can't remember the word, so I'll just leave it be. But anyways, I think just being married to you, and for me, knowing that about her,
mm-hmm.
I continue telling her, you're so easy to love,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's so simple to love you. And so, you know, you once you know this about your mate, it is like, that's why I like doing this with like a married couple or a boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, because they actually get to see what they're hearing in between their ears, right? Mm-hmm. And what kind of life they've had to this moment. And when certain things are said to them, this is why that bag opens up and it's like not very pretty sometimes.
And to have that awareness, because it's not like you have to live to the fact that I feel unloved or unlovable, not unloved. I feel very loved being married to Noah, but so many messages my baggage has told me many times growing up that I was really hard to love. And it's not that he now needs to live to that knowing it, but to just be aware. Just this booklet is so much about awareness of going, okay, I know that my spouse often feels this way. So how can I just reassure that in those moments?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to fight and you're going to argue and things are going to happen. But how can I just be aware of those things?
Yeah.
Which has been helpful.
Steve, what about you? Do you want to say anything about your baggage, or you want us to move on?
Well, like, so if you were to pretend I don't know anything about this, how would I, like, I'm not exactly sure what I would write down. What would you tell me? What would you like? What questions would you ask me?
Sorry, I'm just reading my. I can't read and talk at the same time. But I think, I don't know. My thoughts are gone.
Well, I think it's really, I mean, the baggage is just probably another word for, it's probably just another word for your cope and who I am at my worst, you know, because we all have things
Well,
that
I'm just looking at your picture here, and on the screen, one of the things is it hurts. You could like ask me, well, if you were to think about what are your worst hurts that you can remember right now?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, has there been anything in from past hurts or things that people might have said to you that stick through your head? I know for me, there's certain things that someone has told me my whole life that pop up in my head pretty regularly. And those are all pieces of that baggage or other people's words or things that people have treated, ways people that they have treated you or past relationships, especially speaking into when we first wrote this booklet, we were really had married couples in mind, but then started to see how this can help people individually. But in relationships, if you've dated someone prior to who you're with now, or you were married to someone prior, we tend to bring a lot of that into the next relationship of how that person treated me, or man, I did this in that relationship and it caused a reaction. So now I'm going to not do this to cause a reaction with the new person, even though this new person probably won't even react in that way. So we tend to kind of bring in those pains. So I think that would be my question is, is there anything in the past that has either happened to you or someone has said to you that when a problem arises and you're starting to feel like you're a crummy person, do those old words or experiences kind of come back up?
I think maybe some of my own patterns, my own habits of, like I'll say something like I've been married for more than 45 years, and I still do some of the same things that I've done, when I was 21. So I think, like one of the things I haven't said it lately, but in the past I'd do something, I'd react the same way I had before, do this, and I'd say, oh, what a moron, like. How to get it. So is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I would say so.
So
For
that
sure.
would be like one thing that I noticed that I over the past, that I've done. And then like another thing that I've noticed that like baggage for me is like if you tell me I can't do something, like I dig in with a force of 1,000 to show you to actually go do what it is you've told me.
Yeah,
So
to
like
prove you wrong. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
So like if I and I think that's I don't know where that comes from, but my mom had told me like you can do anything you put your mind to. I remember her distinctly telling me that when I was in first grade, and it was like, all right, I'm gonna be the fastest track runner in this school in first grade. And I tried to do that all the way through school. I never was faster than Terry Miller, who was my friend. And so it was kind of like, I know that I bring baggage from that. Not that it's, because it was kind of like a positive message, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But my experience that I got out of it wasn't positive. It was almost like, no, that's actually not true. You can't do what you want to do.
Yeah, you can't always do what you want to do. Yeah, I agree.
And so
What
the
can mess with you?
part of that baggage was like, actually, no, you can't do it. I can't do whatever I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so so it's kind of, kind of backfired. So
Yeah.
that would be, so those would be things that I would bring, messages and kind of baggage that I would have with me.
Yeah.
that just come to mind, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I can definitely relate with you on that, because I, well, at that beginning part you were talking about, like you do the same thing you've been doing when you're like, you know, 20 or 16 or whatever, and you're like, I always think to myself, am I ever going to learn? Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, am I just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, and it sure does seem like it. No, those are good points, Steve. Thank you.
We definitely will if we're not aware of what's going on. And that's what I like about your booklet.
Yeah.
And the diagram. And Shay, you keep emphasizing that it's about awareness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And so, like, that seems to me like that's our first step, right? We're aware that this is a process that's happening.
Yes.
Instead of, and I really like that, because before I felt like this was happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it was, I was kind of a victim, and it was happening to me. And now I'm seeing that it's actually kind of just a pattern that's, mm-hmm. I've been trained to do, and trained myself to do, and now I have options now, right? If it's just a pattern, if it's really not the problem, it's not the people in my life, it's not this baggage, I'm guessing we'll probably find out is not really the problem either.
Correct,
and that's the thing we find is, you know, a lot of people, I've done this multiple times too, you go from job to job, or friend to friend, or spouse to spouse. Sometimes people have multiple marriages or relationships, and we're always trying to find what's going to stop this cycle from happening. And it's like, actually, like we've been talking about, sometimes you just need to be aware of it and go, what am I doing?
Because it's always going to happen.
Which brings us to our next page, which kind of brings it all together and explains what we do. And Noah, he always talks about how this can happen in an instant in your brain.
Yeah, in a second, I think.
Especially like you were saying, Steve, a lot of times it's just a pattern that you're stuck in. And it's just an automatic thing that you just, it happens. And we're just stuck in this automatic pattern. And so we've numbered these 1 through 5 to kind of show... What are you doing?
I'm just trying to move it so that you can see everything.
We've numbered them so that you can follow along. And since we've already kind of talked about these, it's simple to piece together. And so the number 1 is in the recent problem circle, because that's usually what brings all this up in us, is something happens. And so we have this recent problem.
So mechanic, let's just go off our story.
The mechanic happens, and that runs through the number 2, which is our baggage. And I'm feeling abandoned and he's feeling stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that pushes us right into the identity tug and pull, the internal conflict that we have of who we are at our worst and our desired impression, our success mm-hmm. suit. So he freaks out and
well, because right during that mechanic story,
mm-hmm.
I'm this right here. I'm wearing my success suit because I want to show you how smart I am.
Yeah, you're trying to give me directions.
Yeah, I'm giving direction.
To be helpful.
Yeah, I'm trying to give you directions and good directions.
Yeah.
And then when problem happens,
like
it goes through my suitcase, I'm just like back and forth. Like, why can't she see me being smart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm going to protect that and I'm going to freak out.
Yep.
And I'm going to react.
And you have that tug of war, that internal conflict in you. And for me, I was doing you a favor by just looking up the diagrams, because I didn't want you to know that I was feeling, you know, disconnected, and I was feeling stupid in that moment because I didn't mm-hmm. know landmarks. And so I thought my success suit was, I'm going to do the nurturing, mm-hmm. kind, loving thing by just looking it up. Because I can tell he's getting frustrated. And so we both have this internal conflict, which then turned into anger.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get anger, we just want to rebel mm-hmm. and go, fine, we're going to go to our cope.
Yeah, and then you so go to, because you want to be happy, us. Right? So you want to.
And I was silent and withdrew. You left and got angry. And then we ran right to it. And this happened. I mean, the whole scenario of the directions was probably a 30-second conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It was not like we were screaming back and forth at each other. It wasn't multiple days. It was a quick, you reacted, I reacted. We both got in the car. It was pretty
instant. Yeah, it was very instant. And, you know, my cope probably in that moment was to judge you.
Yeah.
And, that felt, and it felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'd be the very thing that Shay would fear the most.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That she would be unworthy of being loved.
Yep.
Yep. And her other ones are being abandoned. So when I left, that triggered that as well of just mm-hmm. being abandoned. So I'm sure in her mind, yes, we are getting a divorce now.
Oh yeah. It was over.
She was planning on it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She was
trying
to. Well, that could be a way we cope too, is we run, we leave, you know?
Yeah.
We try and get away from the painful, the thing that's painful.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all have that pattern.
For just a little humor here, I was hoping while you would tell that, you were telling that story, that Shay would have got on the maps thing and beat you to the mechanics.
It would have been, I'm sure she tried, but I think
she's going to be waiting for you when you get there, tapping her foot.
Yeah, like, what took you so long? Oh, you went your way? Oh.
Well, and of course, when that happened, right when we got to the mechanic, it started pouring rain.
Yeah.
And all, you know, you have to fill out like the night drop thing. And I didn't want to get in his car to fill out the night drop. So I just scrouched down in the pouring rain trying to fill out this wet piece of paper to put my keys in. But when it started pouring rain, it was like, really, God?
Yeah.
Really? Why this now?
And, you know, just even like I just want to share this real quick on this is like, even like something simple as, this happened before I went to Brazil in March, I think, was Shay was like, she sends me a text and says, hey, we really need to talk. So, I mean, that alone, I think for a lot of people, when you have baggage, like you think that God made a mistake or you think there's something seriously wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
I instantly went through my bags and thought, oh no, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What does she want to talk to me about? Is she unhappy with me? Is she, you know, I start going through all these crazy scenarios of what she wants to talk about. So then I'm going back and forth in my success suit and who am I at my worst? Because then I think, well, if she says this to me, I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell her that she's not doing a good job either, you know? And none of that has even happened yet, but I'm running this through my mind of basically protection and preparing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we finally get to the conversation.
Before you say what it was, because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Your baggage was instantly like, I did something wrong, but I sent that text to you of, hey, we need to talk, out of protection of myself, because I gave him an out to leave me. Because my baggage is I'm unlovable and I'm only ever going to be abandoned. I needed him to know, hey, I need to have a conversation with you. But if you just want to leave, like, this is your out.
This is your time to do it.
This is your time to go. Like, if you want to not even have a conversation about whatever, and it is so stupid, because what was it that we needed to have a conversation about?
You know, people will love this. The conversation was, Noah, when you get up out of bed, can you make the bed a little bit better? And why she said that is because I remember the day, because the sheet was all bound up in like the bottom of the bed. And I was like, I should fix that. And then I just took the comforter and just threw it over and said, looks good. And went on my day, right?
And I'm always the first out of bed. And so it was just one of those, like, it was so stupid, because the bed being made like that made me feel like he didn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my conversation with him was literally, this is so stupid, I can't even believe we're even talking about this on a podcast. But it was like, I felt so unloved that he couldn't just fix the freaking sheet. So I was like, I gotta text. I was fuming for like 3 days about it. I was fuming about this stupid bed being made. Because every day I was like, maybe it was just that day. Next day, same thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, he hates me. He hates me. He will not just fix the stupid sheet. He hates me. So I was like, I just sent you the text. We need to talk tonight. Yep. And he was like, oh, I'm the worst. And I'm like, I just need you to fix the sheet.
Yeah, I just wanted, and now I just fixed the sheet. Everything's good, everybody.
I can't believe we're even telling.
Well, it just, I think it's a good explaining of even like something simple.
Yeah.
You know that if you say something simple to your mate, they're going to go through their baggage still.
Yeah.
And they might come up with a whole different scenario that's not even close to what's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can I ask you guys a couple questions about that, especially since we have this diagram here? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. So was the sheet the problem?
No.
No, absolutely. And
was Shay texting you saying like we need to talk? Was that the problem?
No, not at all.
And so when you look at this whole diagram, then what was the problem?
For me, it was probably not talking back to my baggage. Going through my baggage and not going, no, she just wants to talk. And just leave it at that. But I don't know if that's a good answer. What about you?
I think the real, like the deep rooted problem that, because we had a very long conversation that night and it all started with, hey, you need to make the bed better. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't even the problem. The problem, honestly, was that we were stuck in a friend zone in our marriage that was both making us feel like we were unlovable, that we weren't loving each other well, we weren't respecting each other well. We both were trying to keep this success suit so tightly zipped up.
That's true.
And we were just ignoring so much in our marriage. And we had a very long conversation that night of like, I'm not feeling like you're loving me well. And I know I'm not loving you well. And we both kind of came to this conclusion that we were just being really good friends, but really terrible husband and wife. And it's funny because we were talking about this the other day, that the sheet, the bed making was just kind of like, that was the only thing I could come up with in that moment. But really, there was this deep-rooted issue that we were avoiding.
Well, yeah, and I think it opened the door for communication. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were communicating very well.
Yeah.
And that kind of helped start that communication.
Mm-hmm.
So would you think that maybe staying in this pattern, because it sounded like you had actually been in this pattern for a while.
For a long time.
Right? Yeah, for probably months and months. Yeah.
And so that this pattern itself really was the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, for sure.
And so that's why I would come back and say, well, who was to blame?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, Shay, you said you both were.
Yeah.
But I would say like nobody's to blame,
mm-hmm.
but that we're just sticking in the same pattern.
Yeah, it's the pattern.
And the pattern's really the problem. And, you know, it took a hiccup to break out of the pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It took you writing it. You basically gave Noah an ultimatum.
Yeah.
You said it in a really nice way,
mm-hmm.
Which was, here's your out to leave. Please, like you could have said, like, please leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been like a little bit more direct. Yeah. But that was that popped you out of this pattern,
mm-hmm.
sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And then you could talk about it. And you could be aware that this is what was going on. And it kind of resulted in this cool booklet. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, because
the process to help us all to recognize the patterns.
Yeah, exactly. Because this happened during making of the booklet, and mm-hmm. you know, and it's
it
just
continues to happen.
Yes, it does. And that's the thing, is do problems ever go away?
No.
No. So,
but patterns can change.
But patterns can change because you do have a choice on that, you know.
Yeah, so we're not stuck in this.
No. Mm-mm. No, and one of the things that has been interesting, and I'll go on to the next page, is this concept of reacting versus responding, because for a lot of times I was stuck in reaction mode because I just wanted to protect myself. And I was just angry at everything and frustrated. And I just had the shortest fuse, and still do sometimes because I am human. But in making this booklet and going through like these conversations and these
mm-hmm.
situations, these problems, I've really just been able to be aware of when I'm reacting and go, okay, what am I really protecting here? Because mm-hmm. I'm really just trying to protect myself because I'm afraid he's going to leave. Okay, well, we've been married for 14 years and never has he left me. Like, yeah. Calm down, Shay. Let's just stop this old pattern, because that's something that someone else had, you know, that's part of my baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just hold on and go, wait, I'm reacting. Why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. And to really just bring up this concept of reacting versus responding.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, during that cheat argument, you know, when she first came to me, it was telling me about it, you know, I could feel myself kind of wanting to react. And I know you could feel it on me.
Yeah, I could feel it. I was like, he's going to freak out yeah. at any moment.
Yeah, because I'm like, I do all this other stuff, and this is what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want to do. You want to react to protect yourself, right? So I remember feeling it and then thinking of this diagram and going, okay, what are you actually trying to protect here?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just stop and listen to actually what she's saying? And then let's see what happens. And mm-hmm. for me personally, that's what's helped me so much with this booklet, is when problems arise,
mm-hmm.
it does, you know, I still go through my baggage. I still go through, you know, back and forth with my success suit and who am I at my worst. I'm still trying to figure, you know, I'm still kind of freaking out and trying. But now it's like, oh, I do have a choice. I don't have to instantly react.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stop myself. And it is true, you can actually stop yourself, which I never thought I could.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So this diagram is really just kind of showing the difference between reacting and responding. New identity, you know, responding's new identity, God ways.
Well, and reaction's out of self-protection.
Yeah.
But responding is out of love. And that's...
Yes.
I tell myself all the time, especially as we're parenting teenagers, is yeah. what am I trying to protect, and how can I just respond in a loving way?
Yeah.
Instead of just react.
And we still have to apologize to them. So it is what it is.
All the time.
Yeah.
I like this diagram because it's not one road at the end. It's a choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a choice.
And sometimes, I was telling somebody the other day, they asked me if I, you know, wanted to feel frustrated. I said, oh, I want to feel frustrated at just the right time and just the right amount.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right.
I don't want to feel like I was having problems with my sprinkler system in my deck, and I was having problems doing things that before I was able to do really easily. And so I was kind of frustrating myself, because it's like, I telling myself I should be able to do this, you know, I shouldn't get tired. I shouldn't get short of breath just unscrewing boards off a deck.
Right. Exactly.
You know, my body shouldn't be doing this way. And so I said, but so if I've got like cancer comes back, then I might want to feel more frustrated and mm-hmm. more motivated to go do something. But not when I'm taking boards off my deck or having to dig out my sprinkler pipes. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to get the job done, you know, even if I can't do it very fast. So I like this diagram, because I would still want you to be a protective mom, Shay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd want you to protect yourself, too. I'd want you to, mm-hmm. like, take care of yourself and love yourself. And I wouldn't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes it might be appropriate to react.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, under the Spirit's control, and Yeah. Anyway, so I like this because it like leaves a choice to you. And I think that's what God always does. Yeah, he's respectful of us and doesn't ever make that choice for us. Doesn't ever like
Right, exactly.
grab us by the nose and lead us along and make us do something that we would not want to do. But he brings us to a point like this where, like you guys have in the book, where we can choose.
Yeah.
And so, and really, in a way, we're kind of like choosing to react the same old way, right? We're choosing the pattern that we've kept on doing, you know, for years probably.
Oh yeah.
Or we're going to say we're going to do a different way. We're going to let's do a different pattern.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why I like this booklet, because it kind of shows you, oh, I can do it a different way if I want to.
Yeah,
Sometimes I don't want to though.
No, and I do like the choices because, like Steve was saying, I don't want people to get the message of, I just always have to be so kind and in the spirit and everything is perfect and I only respond. This again is just to bring awareness, because there are times where I have to get so frustrated and fed up that I finally make a change. I have to be so frustrated with my overspending that I finally stick to a budget. I have to get so frustrated with how I feel eating Chipotle every day that I finally get a salad or whatever it is. You know, sometimes that frustration is so helpful and needed, but you have to be kind of, it's just about, like I've said a thousand times on this podcast, is to just be aware. And what is that then pointing you to? What is that doing? And just being aware in your life, are you reacting out of self-protection and just to be like a, oh yeah, but you kind of thing? Or can you choose something different? Are you stuck in a pattern or do you want to choose something different? And there is that choice. And I just love that we have that choice and we're not just these spiritual robots that God made that we all just are like, perfect and full of love. We just, we have this choice and it's so awesome.
Yeah.
I've got a good story. Do we have time or not?
Yeah. No,
yeah, we just have two more super quick diagrams.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Okay, so this is a story. Your dad was with me and another friend was with me and one of my kids was in my backyard when we lived at our house on foot here in Colorado Springs. And maybe you were there. No, I don't remember. But I was sitting there talking to your dad and I look across the backyard and here's my other friend who will remain nameless, but one of an old, a longtime friend. And there was one of my kids, and my kids, probably not like your kids, they know how to push somebody's buttons. And so one of my kids had said something and had pushed this guy's button. And I saw him, my friend, shove my kid and knock him to the ground and was just getting ready to dive on him and beat the crap out of him with his fists.
Oh, man.
So did I react or did I respond? I jumped the fence, ran over there, tackled the guy before he hit my kid.
Absolutely.
And said, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And so your dad's there watching. So I'm thinking back to our first question is like, well, what's your impression? What's the impression you want to leave people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to leave people, exactly.
It's like, I'm sure your dad was like, I have no idea what he was thinking, but it didn't matter to me actually at that time.
No, I don't think it would.
Anyway, so that would probably not be the impression you would want to leave. Like, what's the impression you want to leave your friends when they come over and visit your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he tackles us. No, that's great. Yeah, I like that story. Thanks, Steve.
I was feeling very protective of my son.
I bet you were.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Okay, so next diagram, huh?
Yep, next diagram is choosing, there you go.
Yeah, that's better.
Choosing that response instead of reacting. And so, you know, like we were saying before, the problem still comes up. Baggage is still there. Our identity is still there.
Yeah.
And at any moment, we do have it to where you respond instead of getting angry and running to your cope, instead of getting angry and pointing the finger at your spouse or exploding or running to the bar or whatever your coping habit is, to kind of stop yourself in that cycle and go, wait, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
How can I, you know, when I came to Noah about the bed making, it was like, I could feel him getting angry, but he was stopping himself to really hear what was happening
mm-hmm.
and to really have that conversation instead of just going through that old pattern and blowing up and leaving.
Yeah, and slamming doors.
Slamming the doors.
Whatever.
And then he was able to kind of stop himself and go, oh, and I was able to then use different words too during that conversation because I could feel myself ramping up and just kind of being aware. It's about being aware of the pattern and really choosing that response instead of reacting and running to your coping habit.
Yeah. And when I do this with people, I like to show them that at any moment. So like right now we have it where you go through your baggage and all that and success suit and how I feel at my worst. And then you go to Christ. I like to, and we have it written down. You probably already just said it, but I like to let people know at any moment I can go to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in my cope, I can go to Christ. The problem, I can go to Christ. After going through my baggage, I can go to him. You know, at any moment, you can go to him. And I think that's what's so special about it is you get that choice.
So if you go right to God, right in the moment of the problem, are you just more spiritual and have it all together?
Absolutely not. I just don't react. The
so
problem
what
is still
I'm
there.
What if I'm five beers in at the bar and then I realize I can go to God? Have I done it wrong?
Nope. No way. Because you find that, you know, you choose them.
Yeah, we all
have if it's down the, I think even if it's 3 or 4 days later, you choose them.
About choosing
him. So can I ask a question? This is one of those questions that you mentioned earlier, Noah, that what does that even mean? Choosing him, Christ life in me, respond.
Well, for me personally, it's saying, God, what do you have for me in this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks crazy to me right now. I want to freak out right now. What do you have for me in this? You know, or I think it's something my dad used to always do. And I think it, you know, my dad used, I think he used to always say he always wanted like 10 seconds or 5 seconds. I don't know what it was of like clarity when a problem arised. So he didn't just instantly freak out.
Yeah.
If I you
just
know,
have a few seconds.
If I just had a few seconds, maybe I wouldn't go there. And I mean, I think that's what he's probably talking about here. But I know for him, he would always put his hand on his heart and say, Jesus, you're welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's basically, I don't know if there's any a wrong way to go to him.
Because he's in everything.
Yeah, because I don't know how you go to him. How do you go to him?
Well, first I react and I freak out and I go to 18 different people to try to get them on my side. And then I finally come to my senses because none of that's working and I'm still angry and no one is on my side. And then I go, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn here?
Yeah.
Or even just talking, even just acknowledging that he even exists.
Yeah.
Is something that I was never.
Jesus, you live in me. So.
Yeah, I was never taught to do that. That was never a thing. And so even just now going, hey, God, it's me.
It's me again.
I just did all these other things and they didn't work and I still feel like crap. So what are you trying to teach me, if anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, that's why I don't know if there's a perfect answer for you, Steve, because I think there's so many different ways we all go to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just, I wasn't trying to be pain in the butt. I was just really wondering.
No. That's, I thought it was a great question. I think that's.
What does that mean? And like, yeah, just what's that mean to you and how does it look for you in the middle of this process? And so, like you said, you can go to him at any point in the process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes along with yet again, what Mike Wells did was Great. I think he did a lot of these diagrams, and it went along with a lot of things he said, you know, and he probably didn't put two and two together. Maybe he did, but you know, like when he talks about problem one hand, God in the other, you know, you're just switching them around. The problem still stays there, but your focus is now on Christ and not the problem, right? So I think it's just another way of doing it here as well, is you're just, God, what do you have for me in this? Or God, how can I respond right now and not do what I usually do, and that's react? And we all know reacting doesn't fix anything, even though we still do it.
No, and there are times where I'll still react, even though I know I will be full aware of this pattern and I'm still going through it. I am still going to react. I'm still going to choose my coping, and I'm still, and then days later, I'm going back to Noah going, hey,
Yeah, hey there.
that pattern was fun.
Yeah.
Just to be aware of that. And then, even if you do, if you choose God the second this problem arises and you go right to him, that doesn't always mean that then, the problems are still going to arise. It's still going to be there. And that leads us to our last diagram of giving God that time to fill in those ruts that we have. To, we have this pattern and it is so automatic for so many of us, and we
Because we've
just
done it
go
our
right
whole
to it.
life.
It doesn't mean that once you choose Jesus, you're never going to have that reaction again. You're just all of a sudden this perfect little spiritual robot. Oh, I chose Jesus that one time, so now when this problem comes up, I'm just going to automatically choose Jesus again. But
It's so
he
hard when it, yeah.
slowly fills those pieces of us.
And it is so hard when it happens within seconds.
Yes.
And I honestly think God's okay with it. And I honestly think it will never go away. But I think God will start filling in cracks where I might go to him quicker. And I don't just say that because I think it. I say that because I've done it. And when a problem arises, this diagram does pop into my head. And I go, okay, what am I, you know, definitely with like a stranger. Or when you're driving or something, you know, you got to go, okay, what am I doing here? You know, like, what should I react? This guy cut me off. Should I react and speed up and cut him off and flip him off all the way while I'm there, you know, and brake check him? And, you know, there's all those parts of life that we do it. It's not just, you know, it's even things that are spoken of, you know, we do it when. Even if someone looks at you funny, you can have that reaction really
And God
quick.
allows us to have the reaction.
Yes.
He allows us to still do these silly things. He's not sitting there disappointed that you didn't choose him first.
Yeah.
He still gives us that choice. And if we truly believe that God is in everything, he allows us to do some squirrely things, but he's still there and he's still in it. And
Yeah.
he's never disappointed in your timing because
No.
it's his timing.
Yeah.
So just the fact that we get to change our focus away from this pattern, because there are so many people who this pattern is their focus.
Yeah.
And oh, this thing is happening to me, just like you were saying, Steve, this event is happening to me, and then that's causing me to react,
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
this way because of that. And it becomes their focus. And our biggest hope with this booklet is to give you an awareness to switch your focus as often as you can and choose him, moment by moment, event after event, problem after problem, to be aware that there's a pattern there and to choose God at any moment in that pattern and to see him in it, because he is in all the problems we have. He is in all the reactions we have. He is in the baggage that we have. We have that baggage because he allowed us to go through things that we would be aware of these pieces of us. He's in all of that. And so we really just get the privilege of seeing him in the suck
Yeah.
and seeing him in the reaction, going to him at any moment. And that is our biggest hope for this booklet.
I agree.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you've said, I don't know how many times you
a
said it
thousand
now.
times. I
Yeah.
should re-listen and tick mark how many times I say
Yeah. That we're just recognizing our patterns.
Yeah. And I'm going to stop the share because that's the last diagram. There is also at the end of the booklet, we have corresponding scriptures for each page as the presenter. If you are a scripture leading type of person, we have those as well, just to make sure we've kind of made this for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
cool. Thank you for going through it with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't wait to push some of your buttons and see if you'll react or respond to me.
I can't wait for it too.
And if you have not gotten the Responding Versus Reacting booklet, it is available on our website, abidinglife.com.
I'll also put a link in the description. Yes, how to get it.
And it's under the Shop Books tab, and you can find it there. So this is great. You can run through it with a small group. You can run through it by yourself. Mm-hmm. With another person. They are pretty small. If you're watching this on video, you can see. The hope with making it small was that it can fit in your back pocket if you're a guy, because women's jeans have tiny pockets, or in a purse or bag, or just easily keep a few in your car to be able to kind of even just hand out. I've really just felt like people in my life have needed it, and I just handed it to them and said, here you go, because it is self-explanatory and pretty simple to walk through. So we've made them pretty small for people to grab. So
And I've even done it with a big group, like 45 to me is a bigger group, and they, you know, you can still do it with a bigger group and everyone will enjoy it.
And you do get a discount if you buy 5 or 10 plus.
Yeah, right.
So just so you know.
Yeah.
They're available,
yeah.
Well done. Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for walking through it with us.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for being honest on here, like always, and just
it was really good. I loved hearing the story about how it all came about, and I can definitely identify with it. It's really neat and helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like once you're done with it, it's kind of now up to you if you want to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing I like about it, is like, it's like Shay mentioned, like falling back in doing this pattern again, is like, I think we probably have more than one pattern going at a time. And like, it's this booklet to discover more than, you know, one way. I probably do a lot of things similar, but I think in certain times, I could see that it'd be helpful to go through this more than one time, depending on what the upsetting event was for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I've like that DMVs. I mean, I'm not going to tell that story, but the lady was kind of rude to me. At least that's how I took it, you know, and I saw the diagram, but I was just like, you know, no, I'm going to react.
Don't care.
Yeah, don't care. I'm going to react. But then when I, you know, later that night, I got to then think about it and go, okay, Noah, why did that bother you so much, you know, and really start going through it again. Like, what were you trying to protect, if anything? What were you hearing when it was going through your bags? You know, all that stuff. And it was kind of actually a nice little lesson for me, just because I was like, okay, you can't actually go through it later, mm-hmm. even after you've reacted. Yeah, and maybe even after you've responded, you could go back and go, I kind of wish I would have reacted instead, you know?
Yep.
But all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see what the next one will have.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe so you are the first to know when a podcast is released. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to you joining us next time here at Abiding Life Studios.